Hi, this is Steve Michelotti of the Azure Government Engineering Team. I'm joined today by Bernie Ellis, also of the Azure Government Engineering Team, and we are going to discuss identity on Azure Government. Welcome, Bernie. Okay, so let's start out, I think at a basic level, can you just describe to us a little bit about what are the types of identity models we have available?
Yeah, at its most basic form, I mean, you have on one end of the spectrum, you have on-premises identity, which is the traditional customer that already has Active Directory deployed on-premises, and you know they access their corporate applications using, say, Outlook or Exchange or SharePoint on-premises today. On the other end of the spectrum, we have what we call hybrid identity, which is essentially having an identity presence on-premises as well as in the cloud, but having your identity mastered on-premises, which means you have control of it. You can disable the accounts, you can update the information and metadata about those users and groups and objects that you want to synchronize into the cloud. You control it in on-premises. In the middle, or the sweet spot, you have cloud identity. This could be organizations that are either born in the cloud, you know, they don't have the traditional enterprise, you know, Active Directory on-premises deployment, or it could be an organization that is kind of just getting their feet wet in the cloud and not ready to make that whole investment into hybrid identity yet, and they just want to do a simple dev and test to kind of start off with. The identity models shifted around the business requirements and how users authenticate today and the type of features you want to be able to leverage. For example, in this chart, you have what we call PWS or password synchronization, which gives you single sign-on. If you start from your left going to your right, you get more capability, right? So starting off with password synchronization is the most simple way to do it. That means that I am synchronizing my password to the cloud. So I can use the same password as I do to authenticate on-premises today to an application in the cloud. If you want more control or more high security authentication scenarios, such as using a smart card or for some of our government customers that use PIVs or CACs, common access cards, they automatically kind of map over to the ADFS column here, which synchronizes the accounts first, and then they actually deploy ADFS, which is called federated identity.
All right, so I have three types of identity models I'm hearing you say. We have on-prem, we have cloud, and then this hybrid approach. And within these three types, this table looks like does a pretty good job summarizing what features are available in each one, so that's pretty cool. So what about, we have like modern authentication mechanisms versus legacy. Talk a little bit about that in terms of what are we doing there?
So the same protocols are supported. The same protocols in Azure AD Public are supported in Azure AD Government.
Okay.
The sign-in protocols, as you read this column here, WS Federation, SAML, OAuth, OpenID Connect, and authentication protocols like BASIC, OAuth, Kerberos, NTLM, forms-based OAuth, certificate authentication, and then token types, SAML, OAuth, JSON Web Tokens, those are all supported. I put a star by BASIC and Kerberos NTLM or cert off, which would map to, again, PIVs and CACs, because you require federated identity for that. So an ADFS deployment or your IDP or identity provider of choice, such as Okta or whatever have you.
Yeah, so this table's super helpful because I get questions from people all the time. You know, is SAML supported in Azure Active Directory? What about Okta? Literally had a person ask me about that this morning. So this does a good job summarizing those options. Being a developer like I am, I know I a lot of times have questions sort of from a developer perspective. So let's say I've built an app and I have deployed my app to Azure Government. This might be a simple Azure Government web app. Does that mean that I have to, and I want to authenticate my users to that app. Does that mean that I am required to use Azure Gov Active Directory?
No, you're not required to.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you an example that a lot of our Azure Government customers sit in today, right? They have, they're also Office 365 Government Community Cloud or GCC, Okay. Customers, they've been so for 2 or 3 years now. And they have a lot of applications and services they use those identities to access. So now they have Azure Government here. They want to deploy some apps, like you just said. So the question that we get a lot of is, can I deploy or can I use my identities that I'm already using today to access my services in GCC to Azure Government? Obviously, here you can see that over on the GCC or Office Cloud here, that kind of represents our Azure AD public environment. And over here in the Microsoft Azure Government Cloud, we have Azure AD Government. So they're two different identity stores, so which is why this question is pertinent, is why it comes up. You can opt to use by default the identity store in the Azure Government Cloud, or on an app by app basis. And this could be a PaaS app, or it could be an app hosted in IaaS as well. You can make the decision if you want to utilize the identity from either an Azure Public app implementation or the Government Community Cloud. So I have a dotted line drawn here to kind of signify that. What you would already have in place is directory synchronization using Azure AD Connect here, right? ADFS is already going. You're already using federated or hybrid identity there. All you would do is in the I assume that the application would already be running, or you could build it. And what you would essentially do is just create your application registration to register your application against Azure AD Public, so that it knows, hey, when I log in, I'm going to send an authentication request over to the Azure AD Public environment versus Government.
Okay, that's cool. So whether I'm talking about Office or a custom app that a developer built, kind of have an option there whether I want to use Azure Gov, Active Directory versus public.
Yeah, and it's an important point because a lot of people or customers want to, like they may have these PIV, these hard token requirements, and they don't want to just use a cloud identity over on the Azure Government side, and they also don't want to necessarily have to synchronize a whole new set of users over to the Azure AD Government cloud as well.
Yeah.
So they just want to use what's already there. So it's easy for them to, as a developer, to just wire up to what's already there over in the Azure AD Public environment.
Yeah, and so we just have to make sure the app registration is in the correct tenant.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. All right, great. So what about, are there differences in the endpoint URL that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think we actually missed this on the previous slide.
Oh, okay.
The worldwide endpoint is login.microsoftonline.com.
Okay. In fact, I think let's just head back to the previous slide
sure.
and have a look since we're talking about it.
Sure.
I see it right there.
Great. Kind of skip right over that.
Yeah.
The endpoint for our Azure Government cloud is login.microsoftonline.us.
Okay,
so
cool.
That's a good way to know if you're using an application that's depending on Azure AD Government to authenticate your users. Once that first authentication call is, that first redirect from the app is done, you can automatically tell what identity store it's using by just you'll see the presence of that URL
there. Okay, so we have talked about some good background here. Why don't we get into the scenarios a little bit? What are the three, what are the common scenarios we see with the identity situations here?
Yeah, I'll start off with subscription management. That's kind of the very fundamental scenario that has to be done, right? You have to be able to manage your subscriptions on either side. So we can talk about that. The first scenario, kind of default scenario, because you have a cloud identity once you first get a tenant. So the first scenario is that you can certainly have and manage your Azure AD your Azure subscriptions or your Office subscriptions using the default provided cloud identity there. Most customers don't like that. It's only what we call single factor authentication. So we do actually recommend that if you are using cloud identities, that to at the very least to also turn on Azure multi-factor authentication to kind of secure that authentication.
Yeah, particularly in the government space. I know people are very cognizant of making sure you have the extra multi-factor authentication turned on.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have cloud identities, which are we think of as Azure Active Directory users. What's next?
Then you could say, kind of a spinoff of a previous slide we showed, you can do a hybrid. So to one cloud, you could have your users federated and you're using hybrid identity there. Very similar to, again, right, having the government community cloud consumption over on one side, and then having the making the app decision to also kind of dotted line as an option, right, to kind of also leverage those identities here. So the difference in this scenario is that instead of, you know, doing the dotted line and making a decision to depend on the identities over on the public side, you would just use your government identity there as well.
Okay, cool.
And as a cloud identity.
Okay, so we've got cloud identities, we've got hybrid. What's next?
Yeah. You can use hybrid identities in both clouds.
Oh, okay.
That's the third option there. Then this is good because if, again, kind of targeting to the government community here, because this is Azure government, a lot of PIV card holders and CAC holders, if there is a requirement to use those authentication types to both clouds, then this does facilitate that. Now, at the very bottom here, what you can see is that, say, you're Steve Michelotti, I need to go in, say, as an administrator and manage my Office subscription, right? And then I also need to go in as Steve Michelotti, the admin, and administer my Azure government subscription. I have to have identities in both to be able to see the resources and administer them properly. So, but I also have a PIV or CAC. I mean, that's mandated by my security team. So you can definitely synchronize. You need an instance of AD Connect per tenant that you would use to synchronize your accounts with. And in this scenario, you would have to have two separate accounts on premises. This does get the job done, and some customers are doing this today. Both accounts would actually belong to the same physical user, and you would have to manage two different sets of credentials, passwords, or cards, or whatever have you.
So. Okay, so we've got some flexibility. Three main scenarios we see: cloud identities, or we can use hybrid with cloud identities, or as the last one you just said, you know, hybrid admin for both clouds.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Okay, so we've gotten some great background here. I think at this point, it's time to maybe look at a demo to see how we can implement some of this stuff.
Actually, before we get to that demo, Steve, I do want to talk about a very prominent scenario that a lot of our government customers are in today. As we've talked about across these three subscription management scenarios, the common theme amongst them all is that they are in two different clouds. They have to have two different identities to access resources in those two different clouds. And in each scenario that we've gone through, you've seen them also have to maintain two separate accounts, whether one account is a synchronized account and the other is a cloud, or whether they're both cloud identities, or whether they're two completely separate hybrid identities. So a lot of customers don't necessarily want that, right? They want the single sign-in experience instead of having to manage two accounts. One thing that we're working on should be available pretty soon.
So when do we think this is going to happen?
We're targeting by the end of the year 2017.
Okay. So, but depending on when they watch this video, it may or may not have already happened.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Great. So anything else about that we should know about, or that's pretty much the scenario there?
No, the scenario is really making sure that I, as a user, so say Steve Michelotti again, right, as an admin user, can only have to know one sign-in name, right? I may have a identity of, say, you know, corp.admin@contoso.com in one cloud. That is the actual identity that Azure AD recognizes. And then in the other cloud, I could have corp.admin@us.contoso.com. The reason why that is because obviously you can't have the same domain name registered to two different tenants. So you have to have a different name, at least under the hood.
So we just make it look like a single sign-on experience, so it's good for the user.
Exactly. Okay. So regardless of what clouds or however many clouds that they want to access resources in, they should be able to just remember, say, the default UPN that they're already used to logging in with and accessing their email with, say, corp.admin.contoso.com, and they're happy and off to races and never know anything that's happened about what's going on behind the scenes.
So with that information that we have now in the background, now I think is a good time for us to get to that demo.
I agree.
Okay, so here I am in the Azure Government portal. I think I'm a pretty typical ASP.NET developer who writes code in C#, and I have MVC apps and whatnot. So I want to add authentication to my app, and you're going to help me do it. So you're going to help me through the paths here. So let's just click into my app service to see what I have already available. So I have this web app called Azure Gov AD Demo, and I just want to show people what I have already deployed up to the cloud here. So I'm just going to go to the app service editor, and I'm going to click the Go button here. And I just want to show the configuration settings that I have already set up. Okay, so this is going to show the code that is deployed up in the cloud. And what I specifically want to go to is the appsettings.json file right here. So we have the Azure AD instance we can see on line 2. In lines 3 through 7, we have the instance, the domain, the tenant ID, client ID. So this is kind of that auto-generated code that ASP.NET provides for me when I do file, new project, in Visual Studio. And I've got placeholders for each one. Placeholders because we don't want to check in production settings to our source control. So I actually need to fill in these settings properly, and let's do it for Azure Gov Active Directory. So if I come back here to my app service, I can see that if I click on the application settings, I have put some placeholders in here automatically. Here we go right here. If we look at these settings here, Azure AD instance, these four settings correspond exactly to that JSON file, but they're all blank, so we need to make sure we fill these in.
Exactly.
So what's the first thing I need to do to make sure I can fill in the correct values here? What do I need to set up first?
Yeah, the first thing you need to do is figure out where you want to put your app registration.
Oh, app registration. So what's that?
So application registration is basically establishing what you call a profile, if you will, in our Azure AD environment.
Okay.
And so why don't we, for this example, we can do two ways.
Yep.
We can either show them how a simple example, or we can spice it up a little bit and show them how to authenticate with a identity from Azure AD Public.
Okay, so let's start with the basic example. I just open a new tab here because this is still the Azure Government portal. I'm going to leave this first tab open for my app settings on my web app. I'm going to open a new tab. I'm still in the Azure Government portal here. I'm going to scroll down to Azure Active Directory. Again, this is in Azure Government. And I am going to go to my app registrations, and we're simply going to click this button right here saying new app registration. This is the one that we're going to do right here. So we'll click New App Registration. Another thing I'm going to do, so we'll just call this Azure AD Demo Gov. I'm just going to put Gov in parentheses. We need the sign-on URL. I'm going to go back to my overview here, and I have the URL of my web app. I'm just going to copy that to the clipboard right here. I just did the copy button right here. I copied that URL to the clipboard, and let me flip back here. I'm going to paste that in right here, and in fact, let's make sure it's HTTPS, and I'm just going to copy that URL. And once I do that, I can create, and this shouldn't take too long. Oh, it's already done. Okay, so I've successfully created my app registration. And one thing I've noticed as an ASP.NET developer is I have to come in here and look at my reply URLs. And because of a nuance with the way ASP.NET sets it up with OpenID Connect, it's expecting us to have this sign-in.oidc ending, this endpoint that's automatically handled by the ASP.NET middleware. What I discovered being an ASP.NET developer myself is you may or may not be aware that just by virtue of adding that middleware to the app, that endpoint's there. Okay, so now that I've set up my app registration, I need to fill in some settings here. Let's go back to my application settings. And it looks like the first one we need to do is the AD instance. So I need the URL here. So what URL do I need to know for Active Directory for Azure Gov?
So for Azure Government, it goes back to the URL we talked about earlier, HTTPS login.microsoftonline.us.
I almost spelled Michelotti. All right, microsoftonline.us. So, okay, I'm used to seeing .com there, but because it's Azure Government, it's .us.
That's
okay.
Right.
So domain, what do I need to fill in for my domain? That's of my tenant, is it?
Yeah, you need a tenant identifier. This could be a couple of different values. This could be the GUID of your tenant, or your tenant ID, as they call it, or it could be just your domain name.
Oh, that sounds easier. Okay, let's put in that in. So I know that my domain is michelatigov.com, or this might be michelatigov.onmicrosoft.com, depending on how people have their tenant set up. And just for simplicity, since you just said I could do either one, I'm going to put that same value for both. Another thing I discovered as an ASP.NET developer, the projects put those two different settings, and you might think, oh, the tenant ID has to be the GUID, the domain has to be, but I just discovered recently these are interchangeable. Okay, now this last thing it's asking me for is the client ID. Where do I find that?
You should be able to get that from your application.
App registration. Okay, great. So let me flip back here. And this is what we're interested in right here, right? The application ID?
Yes.
Okay, so it's actually, even though it's called application ID for the app registration, we actually put it in client ID for the ASP.NET app. Okay, so let's just paste that in here and click save. And let's make sure that the settings are updated. So now I think let's try to run this app and see if it works.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'll go to an incognito window just to ensure there's been no previous authentication. And we'll click the URL here. And you can see the URL I'm hitting is that azuregovaddemo.azurewebsites.us. So I have an Azure web app sitting in Azure Government. And we can see right off the bat that we get the authentication experience. And it looks like I can see this is the Azure Gov demo and the Gov in parentheses. I can even do the new authentication experience if I want. So let's see if I can log in here. Steve Michelotti at michelottigov.com. We'll put in my password. Boom, I authenticated. Okay, that didn't seem too hard. So as a developer, I just created an app registration, filled in the four values that I needed to that ASP.NET put there for me, and I authenticated to Azure Gov Active Directory.
That's right.
Okay, all right, so now let's say that I still want my web app to be in Azure Gov, but I want to authenticate to Active Directory in regular commercial Azure. What do I need to do? This sounds like this might be complicated.
No, you would actually take the same exact steps that you just did to set up your web app for authenticating against Azure AD in government.
So
you
would take in commercial.
Yes, you would take those same steps and do it in commercial. So do the app registration there. Go back to your application and basically put in the same values as you just put in the client ID, which is really the app ID.
So on and so forth. All right, so let's close that down. And I happen to have already created an app registration for public. So here's the black background means that's my Azure Gov, and this blue background means that's my Azure commercial account. We can also see, because this says Microsoft Azure, and the other one says Microsoft Azure Government. Okay, so I have an app registration here, and therefore I can get the application ID right here. So let's copy this application ID, because this is one thing I heard you say, we have to make sure that we use this application ID as the client ID, but otherwise, app registration is an app registration. So let's go back here and to my app settings. I'm going to put in the client ID of this one that lives in public. I'm going to paste that in here. And because this is in public or commercial, it's not .us, is it?
No, it's .com.
.com. All right, so just take those up and put .com. My domain is no longer michelotti.gov. In fact, it's going to be Microsoft.com.
Okay.
Because I'm using my commercial tenant, which, because I'm a Microsoft employee, happens to be Microsoft.com. For someone else, this would be like contoso.com, right? Okay, so there's Microsoft.com. And I'm going to use this little trick of using this domain, both for the domain and the tenant ID. Okay, so let's save that. And we should be good to go. All right, that's it. Pretty simple, right?
Let's see if it works.
All right, let's see if it works. That's an important point. All right, so I'm going to open a fresh incognito window, and I'm going to authenticate the app one more time by just hitting the home page. And,
so you might want to zoom in there and show them the Azure.
The URL?
Now hitting the Azure AD URL, yes.
Yeah, so right here we can see that that's MicrosoftOnline.com. Not only that, we can see that the sign-in experience looks a little bit different. So this time I'm going to put in my actual at Microsoft.com account, and it's going to take me to my organization sign-in page, not that Azure Active Directory sign-in page we previously saw. And here's the Microsoft corporate sign-in. I'll just do this with username and password. So I'll put in my password here, and we'll authenticate. And let's see here. Because I am inside the corporate network while shooting this video, it's not asking me to do two-factor authentication. But there we go. We've just authenticated the same app running in Azure Government, which we can see right here, but I authenticated against my tenant in Azure Commercial.
That's right.
All right, pretty cool. So thanks for helping me through that. And that actually seemed pretty simple after all.
It was.
All right, great. Okay, so this has been Steve McLotty along with Bernie Ellis talking about identity in Azure Government. Thanks for watching.